Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Big Apple Hockey, and it is not going to be pleasant for the people that are wearing blue shirts today. I can tell you that for sure after what we saw last night. I am your host, Mark Williams, who can't find his own graphic, and going over to the host of the final buzzer, Mr. John Fulkowski.
At a loss for words.
Yeah, it's the best way to sum it up, Philk. And, of course, the man who's happy that he's got a new coach to look at, Mr. Anthony LaRocco of the fourth period.
Absolutely, and interesting day in the NHL today with the news about, you know, Utah ownership trying to push the expansion process, and then obviously the World Junior scandal that's going on there. So some headlines today in the league.
Yeah, some of them for good reasons, some of them not for great reasons, I mean, to say the least on those. I don't want to get too far into what the World Juniors scandal is. We are going to discuss it a little bit, but maybe not too much into detail.
There's nothing wrong with discussing it. I mean, it's out there. We pretty much know who the five names are, based on various leaves of absences. It's just unfortunate. And, you know, I'm curious if these guys get another opportunity to play in the NHL whenever it like becomes like official.
I just want all the facts out before I can make a final determination on it. That's just my thoughts on that. Because it's certainly the optics aren't looking good for anybody, and there's a lot of things I'm not even aware of yet. So let's go with the A block last night, guys, for the New York Rangers, who ended their road trip very disastrously. And I don't even know if that's a word. Big Apple Hockey trucker hats are available. The A block is powered by SeatGeek. Use the promo code Big Apple Hockey for $20 off the first order. And let's go right to the Rangers, Philk, because I'm going to be turning to you to go on blast about it. And I'll try to get your tweet that you had up on Thursday night about this. But Rangers 1-2-1 last week, 61 points. It's still first in the Metro. People could say, all right, they're still first, Phil, so what? But they blew a 2-goal third period lead last night versus the San Jose Sharks, and they're 3-5-2 in their last 10. I have somebody I'm going to put on blast, Phil, but I'll ask you this first. Is it a cause for concern or simply a blip?
Oh, we're past concern. We're bordering on panic at this point. And I know, they're in first. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. A child could look at the standings and tell me they're in first place. I don't care about that. We're past the point of responding with that. This is absolutely a joke at this point. The defense just doesn't want to play defense at all. There's just no effort from the players that are in the leadership positions. Mika Zibanejad needs to be benched. He needs to be benched for last night. If this was Mike Keenan or John Tortorella, he would have been benched for his efforts last night. Chris Kreider has been invisible lately outside of last night. Chris Kreider actually had a good game last night, but didn't put up any points. But he's been invisible for the better part of a month and change now, outside of a five-game stretch in which he had 8 points in those five games, 3 goals and 5 assists. joke, absolute joke. Then you have Jacob Trouba, who has been piss poor and just been a total slouch in his own end for the last month and change. Keandre Miller looks like they should move on from him and trade him to Ottawa for Jacob Chychrun. Igor Shesterkin had a really good game last night, but he's been all in his own head this entire season. Eric Gustafson has just been an absolute waste for the last month, almost 2 months. He hasn't done anything since Adam Fox came back offensively, because he's not getting power play minutes anymore. They put Jacob Trouba on power play two for whatever reason. I don't understand. The guy can't hit a net with his shot, and he can't move the puck at the line. There's zero accountability for these piss poor efforts from these players. They keep coming to you with the same quotes, same exact words, verbatim after these losses. We didn't have it. They wanted it more. We took our foot off the pedal. Okay, so then if you know that you guys are doing this, why does it continue to happen? And why hasn't Laviolette stepped in already? He's heavy skated them in practice once already. We know that. He did that back in December a few weeks back. But why has no one stepped up to the plate? This leadership group is as soft as I called them out to be last year and the year before that, when they just absolutely folded like a cheap suit against Tampa. Those final four games were atrocious. And nothing's going to change with this team until changes start to happen, until people start to be held accountable for their just flat-out embarrassing efforts. It's a joke at this point. You have Nick Bonino, who continues to play, and the eye test and analytics both tell you that this guy is a heaping pile of hot garbage. I don't understand why this guy is in this league. Yeah, no pathetic, no fight. Lack of leadership is apparent. You know, halfway through the game, they had five shots. Team just doesn't want to skate and play the type of hockey needed to win. Whether it's benching someone, changing lines, or changes are needed.
Yeah, you've said worse, Bill, but I was just trying to show one of the things you said this week.
Yeah, it's enough at this point. The same efforts are continuing from the same players, the same leadership positions are coming back and saying the same damn things over and over again. And it just continues to happen. Slumps last for maybe a couple of weeks. Sometimes they can be extended. That's understandable. But when the efforts are not there and the players are mailing it in on a night-to-night basis, that tells you that there is a bigger problem than it being a slump. They're not getting goalied. I don't want to hear about them getting goalied.
Nope.
They're not showing up for periods at time. So last night they played maybe 25 good minutes of hockey. 30 if you want to be generous. The first 10 minutes of the game, they were getting mollywopped by San Jose. They looked like they were going to get blown out of the building for the first 10 minutes. And then Adam Fox scores that goal. And then they really kind of take the game over. And then the third period comes, and they sleepwalk through an entire third period. As if that's not just a microcosm of what the last season and change has been with this team. As if it's not. And then you have Mika Zibanejad in overtime. Yeah, Jan Ruda committed three interference penalties in one sequence that didn't get called. Sure, but that's not why they lost that game. Stop crying to the ref. Grab your stick, or here's a better idea, Mika Zibanejad. Do the smart thing, leave the stick there, and try to defend without it until you can get that whistle.
Yeah.
No, he skated to the stick, sat there and argued with the ref, and then half-assedly skated back to the play when the goal was scored. If that's not one of the worst displays of leadership I've ever seen, let's just put it this way. If this was Marc Messier in 1995, he would have Sergei Zubov and Peter Nedved in his ass to Pittsburgh for that one. He would have. He would absolutely have gotten on the phone with the general manager and said, oh, this guy has no guts, no spine, no heart. And you know what? The power play, the penalty kill, they just mail it in every game as well. The power play, I think, is what, 16th or 17th in the league since Christmas break?
It's been dropping.
They're dropping big time. Still somehow second in the league because their power play was almost automatic in November. If you gave them an opportunity, that puck was in the back of the net by the time 40 seconds was left on the power play. That first unit got it done. But they're not moving. They're force-feeding cross-seam passes to Mika Zibanejad for the one-timers. They've become predictable, and they don't move their feet. It was the same thing last year. The power play just did not want to move their feet. And then the penalty kill, they don't get in shooting lanes anymore. These shots are getting through left and right. Nobody wants to block shots. The guy that they brought in to block the shots at Nick Bonino can't really block the shots because he can't skate and catch up to him. So, I mean, it's just terrible. I'll leave it at this because I've spent already too much time and I've got to stop hogging the microphone here. But the front office has to step in if the coach is not going to step in, because everything that has been going on has been going on for 2 months now. 2 months. If Chris Drury does not step in, then things are going to get worse and they will be eventually in jeopardy of losing the playoff spot. And if they miss the playoffs,
wow,
start that they had, then this whole thing, and I know that it can't technically happen without some maneuvering and some manipulation because of the no movement clauses. If they miss the playoffs, this whole thing needs to go scorched earth, because this core will never win a Stanley Cup playing the way that they are playing now, giving the efforts they've given now, and with the mentally fragile core that they have in place. It is pathetic. I have not been this disappointed with a Ranger team since the dark days. And you know what? At least during the dark ages, I understood it because we all knew about the country club mentality that they had, where everybody was going to just get a paycheck and retire. That was it. It was a retirement home. It was expected. It's not expected here. And they've been giving it for 2 months now. Changes need to occur. Stop telling me about first place. I do not give two shits about it. I don't. I care about one thing. I care about the name on the front, and I care about that Stanley Cup. So technically two things. I lied. Sorry. I'm a little out of focus right now. But
it's a little bit of the Monty Python, the Spanish Inquisition sketch he had right
there.
Nobody
ever questions the Spanish Inquisition. Yes, I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the name on the front and it's the Stanley Cup. And this team right now does not have what it takes to win. Changes need to be made.
Anthony, we'll try to go quick ourselves because we got to get to a little snippet of the Islanders. But let me get your thoughts on this. Is it cause for concern or is this just a blip?
Are you really asking me that question? I mean, Philk outlined everything, you know, everything perfectly. I mean, the only thing I would add is if I were a Ranger fan, I'd be very disappointed with Panarin and Lafreniere's play away from the puck. There's no – it just seems like they only care about playing offense. And that's to me, that's not acceptable. You know, I think I've even actually seen Phil tweet that over the last couple of days. Some Panarin, Lafreniere really only seems concerned with wanting to play offense. They don't play a lick of
defense.
Yeah, it's not that's not good. You need everybody to buy. I'm not expecting everybody to be like Patrice Bergeron, but you have to at least have your star players, offensive players, at least try to be efficient on the defensive side of the puck. And there's no will there. And we've talked about this with Panarin before. You know, who knows? Maybe when the playoffs start, maybe the same thing might happen. He might even further disappear defensively and get soft. I mean, I don't know, but I would be disappointed about that. And really, the only other thing I'll say is for the people saying, like Phil saying, oh, but they're in first place. You have to understand something. They're in first place because the Metro this year. Yeah, I mean, the Capitals, the Penguins, the Islanders, I mean, they're kind of all, you know, in the same boat. The Devils, too, scratching, clawing. You know, the Hurricanes have underachieved. The Flyers have overachieved. But, you know, now they're probably going to be without, you know, Carter Hart for a while. So the point is, if some of these teams start to perform better, the Rangers would have fell in the division by now. The only reason they haven't, because everybody else has been inconsistent. So, and the Hurricanes have a game tonight too. So the Hurricanes can get even closer with a win, you know? So, yeah, the Rangers need to get their act together because, you know, they could find themselves, you know, in third soon if the Flyers and Hurricanes maybe, you know, scrap together a couple of wins in a row. So, I would certainly be concerned if I were the Rangers.
One thing before I give it to you, Mark, this East is so wide open this year. This is a perfect opportunity for this team to come out of the East and possibly win a Stanley Cup. And they're going to throw it away like this. That's pathetic. Go ahead.
I know. Absolutely. And the guy that I've, if you already saw it at the graphics, you called him out already. Call him out right now. Where the hell are you, Mika Zibanejad? 2 months where you had 9 points, one with seven and one with 21. Will the real Mika Zibanejad please stand up? Because that's who the Rangers need. They don't need this guy. Let me go back to his numbers again. 21 points in the month of December, 9 at even strength, 7 points in the month of January, and 4 at even strength. You've got to be better on 5-on-5. I don't want to hear about Chris Kreider. I put up a tweet last week, last Thursday night, when they were playing. Chris Kreider averaged more even strength goals with Derek Stepan as your center. It is, and I don't want to hear about, oh, they traded Pavel Buchnevich, or what about Kako or something like that. No, this Mika Zibanejad is getting paid big money to be a number one center. Step the hell up. It is about time that I threw my cell phone on the floor accidentally as I was just doing that. But it's just, it is absolutely ridiculous. They are getting zero production out of this guy. Let's start with him. Erik Gustafsson, you can't get any more blood out of a stone. Goodbye. I am done looking at him too, because never mind the point production. Brian Boyle was all over him last night about being in the right area, but not really doing much, either not throwing the body, not really having a stick on a puck. And then he gives up the puck on the first goal, leading to San Jose in a 2-goal comeback in like a minute and a half. And then they go on to win the game. Thank you, Erik Gustafsson. You just threw away a point. All those points are going to be there. And no, you know what? Kreider's got his own issues because Kreider's also away from the puck. But yeah, he was at least on a goal scoring tangent right now. But yes, 5-on-5, he's got his issues. But Kreider, I've always maintained, is a guy away from the puck. That's where most of his play is. Mika Zibanejad, he always has to have it. So where the hell is he? Paying $9 million to guys that aren't near the puck? And yes, Igor Shesterkin too. Let me just finish up with this. Guys, I agree with both of you. The East, the Metro is wide open, and the East is wide open. Just get into the playoffs. Right now, it's slightly important to make sure you keep home ice in a first-round series. But come next month, Chris Drury has a lot of work to do and not a lot of resources. And I'm not sure if bringing in any big names is the right answer. We'll get more on that in the Bar Talk segment. Because we have to go back over to Long Island real quick. Islanders, last week, they had the loss to the Chicago Blackhawks in overtime. They beat the Dallas Stars in overtime. They lost to the Vegas Golden Knights last night. Obviously, the big news of the weekend, we covered it with two different videos. Islanders fired Lane Lambert, hired Patrick Roy. They're a goal differential minus 21. Anthony, just specifically about last night, what were your takeaways from?
My takeaways from last night actually is they outshot Vegas 42-27. They played a pretty good game. Unfortunately, what killed them was what Patrick Roy referenced in his postgame presser after they beat Dallas about how, you know, they let up 43 shots and 17 of them were off turnovers. Well, they turned the puck over too much last night. The first goal, Adam Pellick made a terrible pass, ends up in the net. Second goal, Ilya Sorokin should have stopped. He's got to stop that. And then the third goal, once again, Noah Dobson, really bad turnover with the puck, 3-on-2. It's in the net. Credit to Aiden Hill because he played good. But the Islanders, that was one of those games where they should have won. If they were more careful with the puck, you know, at the very least, they get at least a point out of that game. So I thought they played better in that regard. They cut down the shots on goal, but they still turned the puck over too much. And against a really good team, you simply can't do that. So But listen, two games into Wa, like I said, Mark, the other night, you know, Rome wasn't built overnight. Wa still has a lot of work to do to kind of work out these kinks and really implement a new system. So, you know, so far 1-1 in his tenure. They got a game in Montreal tomorrow, which is, I mean, Montreal's really not that bad, but it's a game they need to win. You know, like I said, they're trying to get back into a playoff spot, you know, 2 points behind the Red Wings for the last wild card spot, 4 points behind Carolina for third in the Metro. So, they have to start winning hockey games. And like I said, Montreal is a team that, you know, hopefully they can go into Montreal and beat. And some of these comments, yeah, Mayfield has been not good this season. And that's obviously hurt them because he's typically been, you know, a solid defenseman for them.
I'll trade your Trouba for him.
No. Well, I mean, listen, 7 years left on the Mayfield contract. So honestly, maybe I consider that. But
I'll take cheap money increase.
I think they have the right head coach in place now. You know, he's like, it's going to take a while for the guys to get acclimated to him and, you know, him vice versa. But, you know, I liked how they battled back in the game against Dallas. They won. But they still have a lot to clean up in their own end with turnovers. And again, you know, Wa's going to have to really put his stamp on the team and, you know, make them, you know, be more careful when they have the puck. So we'll see. But, you know, hopefully in Montreal they can get a win and then they wrap up their pre-All-Star break with Florida. And then there's the All-Star break and the bye week. So
just before we get to John's comment, I can't believe we're sitting here in late January talking about the Islanders need to clean up on the defensive end, especially after the last 6 years.
Yeah, it's still crazy to think about. But, I mean – I was kind of wary of Wa as a coaching hire just because he hasn't coached in the NHL in what now we're talking about 7 years now. 7 years ago was the last time he coached an NHL game, 2017. So, but sometimes coaches have success in their second go rounds, and maybe that's what Lou Lamoriello is looking at. I will say that Patrick Wa in his first go around had a lot of success in his first year. He took a team that was not expected to be that good and he turned them into an offensive juggernaut. That's the only thing I have here is that, or my only concern is that you brought in a guy that was known for his offense back in the day, not for his defense. And the Islanders need to clean up their defense. So we'll see what happens. But I will say this, Patrick Wa is a man that commands respect. When that guy walks into a room, you know who he is. You look at him. You shut up and you listen. That's the type of man that he is. And he's a leader of men. He knows how to get guys fired up. He knows how to rally the troops, get the wagon going. That's a good hire in that regard. So I'm optimistic to see it. What happens with Patrick Wall behind the bench on the island.
I think you just reminded me of the Kevin Spacey movie, Swimming with Sharks, where he just said, shut up, listen, and learn the entire time. Patrick Wall walks into the room. That's what you're going to do. Even though we're going to get to who says no in a lot of trades that we mocked up saying which team is going to say no. Anthony, there was a question right in there from John Rattigan, which is, what is your deadline move? I mean, he said, what is the deadline move? I'm going to ask you, if you were Lou Lamoriello, what's your deadline move?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this first. And I mentioned this to you, Mark, again, you know, we saw it last year when he made the move for Horvat. If the Islanders stay, you know, in this range, like, you know, 2 points out or just, you know, in a wild card spot, et cetera, there's no doubt in my mind Lou's going to try to make a move. I don't know what scale it's going to be on, but if they're right there, he will do it. Obviously, if they continue to lose and fall out, then no. But if they stay in this area, he will look to make a move. But similar to the Bruins, the Rangers, if Hedl comes off LTIR, there's not much, you know, room to work with cap space wise, unless of course Ryan Pulock remains on LTIR for a long time. So again, that makes it a little trickier. You obviously you're going to have salary retention, salary going the other way. But, I think he'll look for a middle six forward, someone who could provide a little bit of offense. Cause you know, right now, JG Pageau and Simon Holmstrom, even strength, they really don't produce much. I mean, they produce points shorthanded, but they don't, Islanders don't get enough offense 5v5 from that third line. And then also Pierre Engvall has really struggled too on that second line. He hasn't been the same player as he was last year. So I think he's going to look to add somebody that he could try to provide some more offense. So whether, you know, again, whether that be someone like, you know, Duclair on the cheap, someone that could just provide a little bit more offense. I think that's going to be his go-to. I mean, I was told by somebody that, you know, he's probably going to discuss Tarasenko, but again, that's going to require salary retention and some other stuff, but we'll see what happens. But again, cap it all off. It all depends on, you know, where they stay in the standings the next couple of weeks.
What so, would you, I still want to know what move you would make.
Me? Okay. Back to that.
Anthony, very politician question.
I would.
Anthony gave the filibuster.
I would like I just mentioned, Pierre Engvall hasn't produced enough. The third line hasn't done really much. I would try to acquire somebody that you would enable then to move Engvall down to the third line. So with that said, I like Frank Vatrano a lot. He's got a year left and he only makes $3.5 million. I think he could fit nicely with Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri. So that's someone that I would go for. I know Anaheim certainly is open to trading him. You know, so that's a player that I have interest in, but who, you know, remains to be seen if, you know, Lou feels the same way. I know he likes guys with term, but that's someone that I would like to see.
All right. Well, we're going to just exit out of this because that answer just ate up a couple minutes of who says no, but it's all right. So, guys, we're going to take a quick message from DraftKings before we go through who says no on some of these mock trades. And then in Bar Talk, we're going to talk about some all-star snubs and a lot more. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
It's a no for me, dog.
No.
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 Welcome back to everybody to Big Apple Hockey's Who Says No, where we ask who is going to say no to these mock NHL trades. And we are going to start right away with a blockbuster. Two of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Adam Henrique with 50% retained and Boston's fourth round pick. To the Anaheim Ducks, Boston's 2026 second round pick. And guys, help me with the pronunciation on that. Jacob Lauko. Okay, good. It was exactly the way it sounds. And to Boston, they end up with Adam Henrique and 50% salary retained. Anthony, you proposed this. Who says no?
Yes, I did.
So hold on. So who gets him? Actually, Boston.
Boston, yeah.
Okay, because the wording on it is like a little weird.
Yeah,
we could have just said to Anaheim, Boston's pick and the prospect, and
so Columbus is just being a broker and maintain and retain 50%.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So the Bruins have $862,000 of cap space come the deadline. Henrique makes what, guys, like $5 million. So there's really no way for them to make it work. Even just with one team retaining. That's $2.5 million. You know, the Bruins don't have many guys on their roster that really makes that much salary that they can make up by sending back the other way. So I think to acquire a player like Henrique, they would need double retention. So in this specific case, I mean, the Blue Jackets have a lot of cap space. You know, they're going nowhere. They get an extra fourth out of it just for, you know, retaining a little bit of salary for one more year. Remember, Henrique's a UFA, so after this year it's done. They don't have to worry about anything. You know, and Anaheim gets a, it's a later 2026. So I don't know if they prefer to have something sooner, but then again, they're a young rebuilding team that has a lot of kind of capital. So I don't know if it's a pressing need, if they need it right away. And then they get a, you know, a little bit of a
middle be different then.
In lockout. What's that?
It's got to be different because you're putting 50% retained in two different places. That's implying 100% retention. You can't do that. The most you can retain is 75%.
I think what you're saying is they retain 50%. It's cut in half twice. That's what you're saying, Anthony, right?
So ultimately, the it should say to Boston, Adam Henrique with 75% retained. That's what exactly. It should say. The wording is just a little wrong.
Well, I mean, if I had more time, I probably would have fixed it.
I do think this deal would probably work for all parties involved. I would say all three do it. I guess my only hesitation is, does Anaheim prefer to have a pick earlier? Boston doesn't have many picks earlier that they could realistically give. That's my only caveat to it. But I think they likely may do it.
Phil, what do you think?
They're trading them anyway, right? So
Columbus gets a
they're going to figure it out, Ant.
50% on Henrique for the rest of the year. That kind of goes about in line with what we've seen on retentions, brokering on deals and stuff like that. Fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth round pick, depending on the retention. Anaheim gets a second and Jacob Lauko. And then can you not?
Sorry. Sorry, I was trying to fix it.
Adam Henrique with 50%, 75% retained going to Boston. This sounds like something I could see happening. And we have seen other trades that have looked kind of like this in the past. So, yeah, I could see something like this happening. Makes sense, too. I think that Boston would rather do this, though, for Elias Lindholm and give up a little more than Adam Henrique, because I don't think Adam Henrique really fixes their center position problems. I think Elias Lindholm would be the guy that they would go after. So I'm gonna say no to this, but if you were to replace Henrique with Lindholm and you would change around things, I would definitely see that happening for Elias Lindholm.
I think a lot of players are going to get a bigger asking price because there isn't much on this trade market right now, guys. And I think there might be a taker maybe somewhere out there that might give up a late first round pick for Henrique if they get desperate enough. This deal could work. I kind of agree with a little bit with what Phil's thinking is. We'll see if they go back to this after missing out on Elias Lindholm, because we have Elias Lindholm with 25% retained going to the Colorado Avalanche, and Calgary is getting Colorado's first, Oscar Olsson, and Nikolai Kovalenko. Phil, who says no to this one?
I think this can end up being a deal that goes through. I think both teams may end up taking this. The reason being that I think there's going to be some retention for Lindholm. I think that contenders are going to have a little trouble fitting him in. So no matter where he goes, I think there's going to be, I would say at least 20% retention, if not more, maybe even 25 plus. Oscar Olsson was one of Calgary's top prospects. Kovalenko, I don't know a ton about. I'm not going to claim to know much about him, but a first round pick plus a couple of prospects makes sense. Neither of the prospects on hand are really like elite level blue chip type prospects. So I could see that. I know that Calgary would rather probably get a first and a blue chip type prospect, but supposedly the ask for, I think Jake Guentzel for the Canucks was prospects like Jonathan Lekkerimäki, who was an absolute stud for Sweden at the World Juniors, and Tom Willander, who was also really good on defense for Sweden at the World Juniors. And supposedly Vancouver kind of laughed at that and said no. So I don't think we're going to see any type of prospect like that traded this year.
Well, Anthony, what do you think? Can Lindholm go there for this price?
I mean, Olsson was a first round pick, I think, in 2021. So, you know, I think he has a little bit of upside there. Kovalenko is playing in the KHL. I think he was like a sixth round pick. He's putting up some pretty good numbers for Calgary's end. You know, they're likely not going to get that much more, being that, you know, this is a guy that is a UFA. Who knows if it would come with an extension? That part I don't know, but you know, I don't know. I agree. I think this is a deal that could go through. The retention part I think is big. I mean, Colorado has, I think, a little over $6 million of available cap space right now, but you have to remember, you know, they have some guys that they're going to be coming back from injury. So that's why I think the retention there helps them in this regard. But I say this is a deal I think could go through.
I actually think this could go through as well. I think they're still trying to see if they can get Bowen Byram out of this. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think he's not moving. For a UFA, he's not.
Yeah, no. You could ask. You're gonna get a no. So, but this could go through. And Lindholm on the Avalanche might be just what they need, because they've been missing that center behind Nate McKinnon, who's
they
playing.
Get him and they get Landeskog back, man. Watch out.
Yeah. And you're talking about a guy who was second in the Selke voting 2 years ago. Let's continue the exit from Calgary to the Jersey Devils. Chris Tanev, and they're getting back in Calgary, New Jersey's third-round pick, and Graham Clark. You know what, guys? I'll start this one off. I think this one goes through. I don't think anybody says no to that. I don't think Tanev's going to fetch a high price, and Graham Clark has been like almost there as a guy playing his way onto the roster. Anthony, what do you think on this one?
I mean, New Jersey's, you know, kind of right with the Islanders. They're trying to get back over that playoff line. They've have Dougie Hamilton's out, Siegenthaler's out. So I think they need a defenseman in the worst way. You know, it really depends on if Fitzgerald wants to, you know, if he thinks it's worth kind of investing assets to try to squeak into the playoffs and then hope, you know, anything can happen, because they also have goaltending issues. But I do think after last year, I think the Devils want that to make the playoffs again after having a taste for it. Hughes is going to come back soon. Eventually, at some point, you know, they get Hamilton back late in the year. So they may want to do this to make sure they could try to get in the playoffs. So I'm going to say it goes through.
Philk?
I think Calgary is actually going to say no. I think they could get more for Chris Tanev. I think there will be a bidding war for a guy like him. And I think that the price is not going to be exponentially higher, but I think it'll be a little higher than this. I think you're going to look at a third, maybe even a second, and a prospect for Tanev. We've seen people overpay for defense, and I'm pretty sure Tanev is a right side defenseman, if I'm correct. And so, right side defense help is always very hard to get, especially at the deadline. So I can see somebody. Yeah, he's a right-handed defenseman. So that's a big get for a team that gets him. The only cause for concern with Tanev is his health. Just over the years, he has just missed so many games. But he's the type of guy you want on your team come playoff time on defense. He does all the little things. He's physical. He kills penalties. He blocks shots. He can skate. It's not like he's one of those antiquated stay-at-home defenders who can't really skate and is really just a shot blocker that somehow just sits there and maybe a puck hits him and he gets lucky. No, Tanev can actually play defense and is a warrior. So I think he'll get a little more than this, and Calgary would say no to that.
Phil, we're going to bounce right back to you on this one. To the New York Rangers, Jacob Chychrun, and Ottawa gets Keandre Miller and the Rangers 2024 second-round pick. Who says no?
Wow. This is a tough one. I wonder if Ottawa would ask for something on top of Miller, just because Miller is a little more than a second, maybe a first on top of it, just because of the fact that Miller is not as proven as Chychrun. But at the same time, Miller has more team control and is younger, so that works against Ottawa in this situation. And not only that, but Chychrun is soured on Ottawa from the reports, and this would be the second team in 2 years that he's kind of asked his way out of. I think the Rangers would make this in a heartbeat. I really do think that they would do it. I personally would absolutely do it. I wouldn't even think twice about it. And I'll join Matt on driving Keandre to Ottawa right now if that's the case, if they were to do this. So, I think this could go through, but I also do think there's a slim possibility that Ottawa may ask for more because there may end up being a bidding war for his services.
Anthony, what do you think? Goes through?
I think it might go through too. You know, Ottawa's in a sense, we've already heard it in the offseason. They're ready to take the step forward. They're done rebuilding. They want to win now. So if they trade Chychrun, I don't know if they're going to be looking for picks and prospects. They probably want a young guy as well to kind of step in. Keandre Miller fits into their kind of window. Sure, he hasn't really played as really that well this year at all, so that maybe affects the value a little bit. But they also get a second, which, you know, second is good capital to have. So, I mean, I guess it depends on how many teams are really interested. If it's, you know, you're talking like, you know, 10 teams, then maybe no. But, you know, if it's like down to maybe three teams or so, I see no reason why it wouldn't go through.
I think the Rangers say no to this, guys. I think Keandre Miller is a more valuable chip. Yes. Keandre Miller is a more valuable chip than Chychrun. He's got the team control. The Rangers could go for this. I think now, by the way, again, I'm talking about what they think, not what I think. I'm not sure exactly how much of an upgrade Jacob Chychrun is. And 27 points this season, that's nice. You're on a bottom feeding team, so that's why one reason why you're getting all that ice time. But like, what has Jacob Chychrun done to be like the guy that gets to pick any location he gets to go to every single year? I'm actually so, and it's not just that I'm just so sick and tired of hearing Jacob Chychrun's name in trade deadlines all the time. I mean, they just finally got him out and he had to go back in. I mean, what is he, Al Pacino? Is he Pierre-Luc Dubois? He's got to get traded every 5 seconds. But, I mean, and also I just don't know if Chychrun really makes the Rangers that much better. I just don't. You're going to power play one is Adam Fox. They take up way too much time. So you're prioritizing that, and he's all right. 5-on-5 is not the greatest. So I don't know. I just don't know, guys. That's me. And it's not even me just being irritated by hearing Jacob Chychrun's name in trade rumors again. God. No, but in a little bit. And last one, guys. To the Carolina Hurricanes, Frank Vetrano, and he's going to Anaheim for Carolina's first, and Felix Unger Sorum. I hope he doesn't go with Oscar Mattisson as well, by the way, for any Odd Couple fans.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to make that reference.
Yes, I was going to make that joke.
Oh, God.
All right, Phil, who is saying no to this one?
I think that this probably goes through. I think Carolina would have no problem giving up their first. I think Felix Unger Sorum doesn't really, and as a prospect, I don't think that's going to be a big loss for them going forward. They get Vetrano for a year and change, you know, two playoff runs basically. I think that's a deal that you could probably end up seeing go through, but because I think Anaheim would be thrilled to get a first for Frank Vetrano because they know that this type of production is probably not sustainable going forward for him. So I think they take full advantage of it and they would just be happy to get a first. They probably wouldn't care about the prospect itself at that point if they got a prospect on top of that.
Anthony, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes through with a first and a guy who was drafted in the second round just last year. I think to them that would be fine value for a guy that, you know, is having a career year right now. And also Carolina needs another guy that could score. I mean, you've seen it. They struggled. I think this is a guy that would fit in with the way they play. He's got a good shot. And they need, like I said, they need more finishers on their team. So, yeah, I think, fire it up.
Yeah, I think this might go through. I mean, especially when it's for a first. And, you know, you gotta think that you gotta sell high on Vetrano right now. He's gotta go right now. And he's gonna be his first All-Star game next week, and he can't wait for that. But yeah, you gotta trade him while his value is high. All right, everybody, that was the end of Big Apple Hockey's. Who says no? There wasn't a lot of no said.
Who says no? Everybody else in watching the show, or Mark playing the Odd Couple commercial with Gretzky and Messier after seeing Felix Ungersorm's name?
Hey, that commercial was great.
I love
especially
that
when Gretzky takes the backhand and the apple.
Yeah.
And of course, Messier being a complete mess himself. All right, everybody. It's time to go around the NHL. Let's do some bar talk.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever had to answer.
I'm going to say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. All right, let's get the comment up right now. Back to Big Apple Hockey's Layoff Talk, which, by the way, Phil guest on Rangers Central this week and did a State of the Union on the New York Rangers. Check it out, everybody. But welcome back to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we're gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. Are you so confident that you're buying around? So you having a beer? Or, oh, God, give me a shot on this one. And make sure you play along in the comments. And, of course, why go to the liquor store when you can have Drizzly bring it all to you? Click the link below. And, of course, again, Big Apple Hockey trucker hats and shirts are available. Guys, let me start first with the All-Star Game news. Vinny Trocheck rightfully and finally was named to the All-Star Game this week as an injury replacement. And Noah Dobson and Jesper Bratt left off the roster. Devils' Jesper Bratt is a bigger snub than Islanders' Noah Dobson, Mr. Larocco.
I think they could make case they both deserve to be in the All-Star game. I mean, one's a defenseman, one's a forward. I know it doesn't really matter too much for the All-Star rosters, but I don't know. I mean, I think they both should be on the All-Star roster. I already made my feelings about how I feel about the selection process, the fan voting. I think it all has to change. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me. Bratt's one of the Bell's better forwards. Hughes out. He's still been really good. Obviously, Noah Dobson's one of the highest scoring defensemen in the league right now. He's Islanders MVP, you could say, aside from Barzell. I don't know. Beer shot? I really don't know how to.
Beer is actually the perfect description on that one.
But I don't know.
Phil, who do you think?
I'm going to go beer because I don't think that you could really go wrong either way with saying one of these guys is a bigger snub than the other. Honestly, what Bratt's done, considering that some of the talk around Bratt from people who don't really care for the Devils has been that he's kind of leached off of Jack Hughes a bit, and he's kind of a benefactor of Jack Hughes's production and his production and his development. But Noah Dobson, for me, has been the Islanders' MVP. I know that Barzal's come on as of late. Horvat's been great as of late for them. But Dobson's been the guy there. So I can't really say that either one is bigger than the other. We're just going to have to go with the beer.
Yeah, guys, we're going to make this one a hat trick. And I would love to say which guy I would take over the other ones, because I love me some Jesper Bratt. I think he's a hell of a player. I love me some Noah Dobson. He's been fantastic this year. Plus 20 on a team with a negative 21 goal differential. But here are the following players that have 48 points right now in the NHL. Sidney Crosby, Matt Barzell, Jesper Bratt, Noah Dobson. I mean, Noah Dobson tied with Sidney Crosby. I would actually have moved. I lean a little bit towards Dobson, but, you know, both those guys should be playing. And not 9,000 Maple Leafs, but whatever. You don't want to bring them all down. All right. But, guys, the trade deadline is coming in about 6 weeks. Yeah. Phil, the New York Rangers trade priority needs to be a defenseman.
I got to go beer just because the fact that they absolutely need forwards as well. I mean, it's they need everything right now. The team's a mess. They're an absolute heaping pile of hot garbage right now, and they have no direction. I mean, if leadership was something that you could trade for, you know, as a as an entity itself and not just a person, they would need that as well. I mean, they need everything. They need everything. They need goaltending. They need goaltending.
Yeah.
Who like what? There's nothing. I can't even believe that the three Russian goalies that were supposed to be the trifecta of NHL elite goaltenders are all just underperforming massively this year. And Igor Shesterkin looks like he needs a sports therapist. I mean, I'm sorry, but they need everything.
And you're not wrong. 901 save percentage this season for a guy who is in the high 19s. His entire career. Anthony, Rangers trade priority has to be a defenseman.
No, I mean, I agree with kind of Philk. I think they equally, you know, they could also use more depth and their, you know, bottom six, more capable players than Nick Bonino. They could use, you know, another guy that could score. They could certainly use another defenseman. So I can't say it's just specifically defenseman. So, I mean, I'll go shot on this one then.
Oh, wow. All right. That was a bit of a curve that you threw me
I
on that
wish
one.
I could say the same and go shop, but I'm so lost with this team that I can't really even decide.
Well, unfortunately, guys, I'm going to go completely opposite from everybody. I'm buying around, especially after watching Erik Gustafsson last night. I know I'm citing one game right now, but you got to move on from Erik Gustafsson. Every other team moves on for Erik Gustafsson. He's never a long-term situation. Thank you very much for playing. Have a good day. Now, Filipedal, if there's bad news for him, then you know what? Then you might need to go with a forward instead. But, I mean, the Rangers need to do something sooner than later. And in the next 6 weeks, we will not be seeing this same roster. Nonino? Yeah, okay. Well, Barkley Goodrum ain't going anywhere until the offseason.
Yeah, at the very least.
Carter Hart was among five players requesting personal time away from the team. Flyers right now, second in the Metro. Anthony, the Flyers are going to sink without Carter Hart.
I mean, I don't know if they're going to sink without Carter Hart because, you know, Erison, he's been really actually pretty good for them. I mean, but now he's the guy. He's going to have to play a lot more because I don't know how much of an appetite the Flyers have to play Cal Peterson, who they just called up. Their third goalie. And, you know, Carter Hart, it's funny. He was finally putting together, you know, a better year than he's played in the past. So, I mean, it's definitely going to – they're going to feel it. It's going to hurt them. But I also don't think they're just going to, like, free fall. So I'll go beer. But I also have a head out now. So.
Oh, okay. Bella. Ant, take it easy. We'll see you soon.
Take it easy, Ant.
Phil, what do you think? Flyers are going to sink without Carter Hart?
I'll go beer. I will say that it's probably it's gonna be tough on Samuel Harrison, who has been good for them, but you can't. I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing to be putting pressure. On why did you do the mark messed up?
I accidentally hit around first. I know Cora was going to make a comment.
Oh, yeah, there you go. But it's not something you really want to put on a goalie that has 35 games of NHL experience. He's technically still considered a rookie, I believe, even though he played 12 games last year, started 10. So I do think that. There's going to be some sort of drop off. I just don't know how much.
I think there's going to be some drop off when he starts getting the workload. And
yeah,
I don't think he's ready for the NHL workload, but I am going to go beer on this. I am going to go beer on that, Phil. He's been up to the task, 905 save percentage and a 244 goals against average. But the thing is, now you're going to have to do it every day. and Cal Peterson go back to that phase where he was in LA, where people thought he was going to be the heir apparent to Jonathan Quick, and oh, he wasn't. Folks, let's go to the wild card standings. Toronto Maple Leafs 54 points and Detroit Red Wings 53 points are firmly in wild card 1 and 2. Islanders 51, tied with the New Jersey Devils. Washington Capitals at 50 and trailing behind all of them, the Pittsburgh Penguins at 48. Filk, at the trade deadline, the Penguins will be sellers.
If they're smart, they would. I don't know. I have to say beer because I don't know right now at this point. But if that team is smart, if their management is smart, sell off. Just admit the mistakes and sell off. You're not going to be able to sell off Erik Karlsson. But if you don't sell off Jake Guentzel at the deadline and he goes somewhere else in free agency, you lose him for nothing, that would be a really, really, really bad look for Kyle Dubas, who got a lot of criticism all over for the Erik Karlsson trade and bringing in. You have to use the word redundant because they didn't need another defenseman like him, even though he's a better version of what Letang is, offensively at least. But you made that move, and then you keep Jake Guentzel only to lose him in free agency in the offseason? To me, I don't get it. I really don't. Just admit the mistake now and just start selling pieces off. That would be my view on it. Because even if this team makes the playoffs, how is a team this bad, this inconsistent, this horrendous defensively, how are they winning a playoff series? I don't see it. I really don't. So I would sell off Guentzel, but the question really is, will they be? I don't know. So I'm sticking with beer.
Filk, I'm going to go with shot because they're not going to be because of their own hubris. I got to say this team, they should be sellers. They should be sellers right now. They should start selling off everybody. Look, you got Sidney Crosby playing at a high level. Great. And whenever you have Sidney Crosby, you're going to be a team to be reckoned with at all times. Phil, they scored in their own net the other night. This isn't a good team.
No.
There's nothing about this team you look at and go, this team is going to be able to win a playoff series, never mind a playoff game. Like, Tristan Jarry is meh. And Karlsson hasn't exactly meshed. They're playing from behind every single night. And then they should have sold off their pieces a while ago. But you know what the Pittsburgh Penguins are? They're the guy at the casino that needs to make sure his wallet is completely empty. And I can't help but say this. Why did you get Kyle Dubas? If Kyle Dubas is supposed to be this genius that's going to revamp your entire organization, why? And still the jury's out on him to begin with anyway. But just let him do his job. Start selling off pieces. You're going to have to admit that's what's going to happen. And by the way, Phil, you look at these standings again. Detroit in the second wildcard spot. And they got a lot of assets. Detroit will be the most aggressive team at the trade deadline.
I don't know. I'm going to say shot just because they already got Kane. I think they may make another move, but if they make anything beyond that, I think it would be a small move. I mean, what other upgrades are they going to go and be able to make without giving up serious assets? That's my question. I think that they are going to try to make the playoffs, and I do not like the idea of dealing with Steve Yzerman because he never seems to lose big trades. He always seems to come out of them winning. So I don't see how they go and make the big move that Yzerman is usually known for. I don't know what's there. Would Elias Lindholm really make sense for a team like this? I mean, if their goal is just to make the playoffs, then going out and making a big move is maybe something you could see them doing. But this is not a team that I see winning a Stanley Cup. Could their goal to be to make a move to win a playoff round or possibly two? Sure, but I don't see it. Eiserman's not that crazy. He's not out there like some other general managers. So I'm going to say shot. I don't think they're the most aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, I threw them in here because they have a ton of just stats that they can go with. And just a ton of picks and prospects you got. But you know what, folks? I got to go shot on this one, too. The one area I think they could upgrade is that goaltender. And I don't think you could do that at the trade deadline. I'm now a firm
unless Saros becomes available, I don't see how they upgrade. Unless they really want to go give up the assets for Gibson. But Gibson's a UFA. I don't know if they want to really give all that up for a goaltender.
You'd have to get the goalie in, acclimated, and ready to go. And there's a reason why. I'm not sure if a goalie has been acquired since 2006. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anybody in the comments? And that was Dwayne Rollison from the Islanders. He went to Edmonton. That won a playoff series after being acquired. From another team. I don't think
Rollison was on the Islanders that year.
Thought he was. I thought it was the Islanders in 2006.
No.
Either way, Rollison went to Edmonton. So it's,
Rollison did go to Edmonton, but I think he was the Islanders were after Edmonton. He went from Minnesota to Edmonton.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So that's my mistake. You should always know where the 9,000 places Dwayne Rollison played. All right. Phil, let's go to the Western Conference wildcard standings. You have LA 53 points, Nashville 51, Arizona 49, and the St. Louis Blues at 47. And they just beat a team they were competing with the other day, the Calgary Flames, or last night, I should say. The Blues will be in a playoff spot by the trade deadline, even if temporarily. So they just have to get into the playoff spot. They can get knocked out by then, Phil.
I mean, they're playing better hockey as of late. I don't know if I really believe in this team that much. I don't know about the goaltending. Goaltending kind of, you know, scares me a little bit. You don't know what you're going to get from Binnington. I mean, their schedule coming up is Vancouver, tough game. Seattle, up and down team, but they could give you a tough time. LA, slumping lately, but they're a good team. Columbus, if you show up, you can beat them. And that's the end of January. And then February, you've got Buffalo, Montreal, then you got Toronto, Edmonton, Nashville, Toronto, and the Islanders, and then Detroit. So the trade deadline is, let's see here.
March 8th. Yeah.
I don't like that stretch for them in February from the 13th. Oh, no, and then they have Winnipeg and Edmonton. Oh, my God. To end that second half of the month, or from the 13th on, Toronto, Edmonton, Nashville, Toronto, Islanders, Red Wings, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. So you have 8 games of teams that are all going to give you tough games. Whoo! I'm gonna say beer, just because I really think that their team is an up and down team all season. I don't like that schedule. I'm just gonna say beer because I'm really not too sure, but I don't like the way that schedule looks in February.
I'm actually gonna go shot because you cited that schedule, and Arizona and Nashville have been the better teams the entire time versus them, or just over them the entire season. I'm not a believer in Jordan Binnington, and I don't know many people that are. I mean, I'm pretty sure you could pull that question in St. Louis, and there's not a lot of people that are going to be believers in him. That guy that was there in 2019 is never walking through that door ever again. And I think they're better than what they were a couple of weeks ago or even a month. And Drew Bannister has done a good job behind the bench, but they had the new coach bump and it's right back down to normal. So it's, they're not, I don't think they're going to touch a playoff spot. And one team that was outside the playoff spot and now within, oh, by the way, before I forget to mention this, LA is trying to play their way to St. Louis right now. Like, I mean, geez, LA, the last 10 for the Kings, 2-4-4. And yes, they beat the Rangers. So that's a, that's even more to say about the Rangers in that time.
Yeah.
But one team that was outside the playoffs looking in about a month ago, Phil, the Edmonton Oilers. And they've gone on some runs, and right now they are on a 14-game winning streak.
14-game heater.
A 14-game heater. Let's look at the NHL best all-time streaks. You got the 92-93 Penguins, 17 games. There was no shootouts. There was overtime. Yeah, the 16-17 Blue Jackets, they had 16 games. And the 81-82 New York Islanders, 15 games, and there was no overtime on that. Edmonton's win streak cannot compare to the 93 Penguins or the 82 Islanders.
Different time frames. I don't understand why you would compare, especially when back then they had ties. The 93 Penguins were the last team to boast four 100-point scorers on a team. Mario Lemieux, who led the league with 69 goals and 160 points in only 60 games, which he would have actually shattered Wayne Gretzky's single-season points record had he played the full year of 84 games. Then you had Ron Francis, Rick Tocchet, and Kevin Stevens all score over 100 points. Jaromir Jagr had 90 points. Larry Murphy was over 85 points, I believe, as a defenseman, point-per-game defenseman. Joe Mullen had over 30 goals and 70 points that year. Sean McEachran as a rookie had almost 30 goals and over 60 points playing, I think, like third line minutes for them. That team was stacked. The team was absolutely stacked. And the fact that they lost to the Islanders in the playoffs is one of the biggest upsets in NHL history, in my opinion. But I'm going to say, yeah, it can, because of the fact that they've won 14 in a row on a team that was spiraling south. They looked lost without a they were trying to climb Mount Everest with their bare hands and feet. And then all of a sudden Chris Knobloch comes in, Connor McDavid gets healthy, and Connor McDavid is dragging them on his back. And he has just been nothing short but otherworldly again, proving why he's the absolute best player in the world. So, yeah, I'm going to say it can, because of the fact that they were down and out, and now they're in a playoff position.
First off, congratulations to Chris Knobloch, former coach of the Hartford Wolfpack, and the job that he's done there. Let me say that the Penguins' win streak, that I'll put in comparison with the Islanders, because even if they went to overtime, they went to 5-on-5, That team that year was a juggernaut. Mario Lemieux, 169 points, and he didn't even play in a third of the games, I think it was.
He missed 24 games. It was 169 goals, quarter of 50 points, and 60 games. It was an 84-game season that year.
That team was just incredible. And again, we got Ray Ferraro's story about how they won. Check it out in our shorts videos. And Al Arba's motivation. Back to this. The reason why I have to also clarify about that, the Penguins got overtime, but it was still 5-on-5 in only 5 minutes. The Islanders had no overtime, so they had to win in regulation. And when you have shootouts and 3-on-3 overtime, there's going to be the winner. And that's what Edmonton has. They, no matter what, they get a winner in this. And if you're telling me you go to overtime with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, if you don't win in overtime, you're winning in the shootout. So that's what's incredible about them, and that Stuart Skinner was still playing pretty well throughout this stretch. Milk, it's not fair to compare errors, but you know what? The Oilers win streak is a footnote compared to those other two. And I'm going to stick with that saying, Is it right or wrong? Is it unfair to compare eras? Fine. But you know what? Then make it a little bit longer. Let's see if you can get the 20, which is going to be tough. Because, by the way, Falk, I'm going to add the second question on top of this. And this is just a question. You don't have to bar talk it. Will the Oilers break the record?
Connor McDavid continues to play like this. I wouldn't put it past them. I really wouldn't. It's only three more wins. Looking at Edmonton's schedule.
I can actually tell you, they host Chicago tonight. They host Nashville. And then after the All-Star break and a week off, they get Vegas. And then I was so preoccupied with Vegas, I forgot who they played after Vegas. Anaheim.
Two of those games should be wins. If they show up and they play hard, two of those games should be wins. It's the Nashville game that you're really worried about. I worry about the All-Star break, though, too. The All-Star break could really throw off their momentum, and that's, like, the big thing. So, for me, if they break the record with the All-Star break, then to me that's even more impressive, considering that they don't have the depth that Pittsburgh had or the Islanders, and they had to go through an All-Star break to do it.
And you know what, Phil? I'll give you a credit with that, and I'll talk about that as well, where it's, you know, then you're talking about mentally you have a break. You already won a bunch of games in a row, so you don't have to – you can actually probably take a night off. Maybe you could be a little bit lackadaisical getting back from vacation. And then you know what? Maybe you don't have a great game against Vegas. And Vegas ain't no slouch either, even without Jack Eichel in the lineup.
Yeah.
So they could lose it right there, and there's no shame in losing it right there. A matter of fact, if I recall correctly, Columbus – lost to did they lose to the Flyers and then the Rangers after winning 16 in a row? They lost two games in a row after doing that streak. But that'll conclude this section of Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we gauged our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. And don't forget, make it a drizzly night, guys. Why not call and have somebody else bring you some liquor? Phil, let's get to some news as well. The NHL released a statement about the Utah franchise, how they're coordinating possibly an expansion over there. You have Kevin Weeks talking about Atlanta nonstop and a little bit of trouble ahead for the Arizona Coyotes. What do you think? NHL is going to expand out to Utah and Atlanta, and what do you think the fate of the Coyotes is going to be?
I hope Arizona stays. I really do. I think that market can work with stable ownership, just like Atlanta. I think if stable ownership is in both places, I think those teams work. Arizona finally seems like they're getting it together. They have a good core going forward. I would like to see the Thrashers back. That would be fun. The more teams in the NHL, the better. The more money coming in, the more markets getting it, the more exposure, the better. It just has to be done right. But I definitely want to see Arizona stay. I would like to see his franchise in Salt Lake too. I know there's, I think the 2034 Olympics is going there, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So it would be nice to have Salt Lake City back. Salt Lake City, you know, 22 years ago now, around this time, they had the Winter Olympics, where Team Canada won their first gold medal at over the U.S. in the finals. Speaking of Mario Lemieux, he made that crazy play where he had that through the legs play with the pass from Korea to Iginla.
Yeah.
For the goal. Yeah. So,
and by the way, Phil, never forget, that's the best American team ever. And the amount of talent on that ice was incredible. But
I think the 96 team that won the World Cup was actually a better team. They were younger, and I think there was a bit more talent on that team as well.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so I think Utah can work. I think it's a cold weather market. I do. They have an arena ready, supposedly, and I think there may even be plans for another arena in place for them. But
they're talking about building one for the Olympics. Yes.
Yeah. So that way, you know, it can work. And we have seen, though, with the most recent expansions between Vegas and Seattle, that success can happen because teams are willing to broker deals for them to not take certain players. And with the cap kind of being in flux and everything like that, if you have a team coming in with the salary cap, now it's a little easier. And back when Florida and Anaheim came in, they didn't have success in those first couple of seasons because of the fact that there was no cap to deal with. And then you could just give up your bottom of the barrel, your runt of the litter type players in those expansion drafts. I mean, I think it was Florida. They were going to get Doug Lidster, I think, from Vancouver. And then,
came to the Rangers, yeah, Vancouver was going to expose Doug Lidster, but the Rangers had to expose John Van Beesbrouck.
So they dealt the two of them. And then that ended up being who, they exposed Vancouver because they had McLean and they were set with McLean, especially with Van Beesbrouck being the older of the two goaltenders. But I'll answer Chris T's question. Why Atlanta, if they failed twice? Stable ownership. They have not had stable ownership in Atlanta. They have not had stable ownership in Arizona. But the NHL has continued to support Arizona, not support Atlanta. Atlanta's a big market. There's a lot of money there. Hockey can work. It just has to be done right. And you can't have Don Waddell just messing everything up like he did in Atlanta. He hurt them so badly in Atlanta. And why can't Quebec City come back? Dollar. Canadian dollar. And not only that, but you're dealing with possibly the biggest hockey market in all of Canada, in Quebec.
Yeah.
If not Toronto or the Ontario market. And you have to deal with the Canadiens. Like, that's just a double whammy for Quebec City.
I also think, let's start with Arizona. I think Gary Bettman really does not want to move the team out of Arizona. He wants Arizona to be a hub. And after all, you have a number one draft pick that came from Arizona, and Arizona State is growing as a hockey program. And okay, we'll get to that in a second. And a little non-hockey related news went into our feed. But by the way, if you want to see a little bit of the Arizona experience, check out my Mark on the Road in Arizona. But Arizona could be incredibly popular. You have to put the stadium in the right location. They put it in Glendale. Nobody wants to go to Glendale. Glendale is good for a football game that's once a week, not a hockey game that's 3 to 4 times a week, depending on the scheduling on that type of year. There's a lot that could be still said about Arizona, and people are still transplanting out there, even though it's slowing down a little bit. Now, by the way, thank you, David. Definitely enjoyed that video, he said.
Yeah, there we have other news, this hockey related, but not specifically to the on ice stuff. But Anthony is going to be on Sirius XM NHL radio again Saturday at 12:30, talking about the Islanders. So if you are a Sirius XM radio subscriber, tune in to NHL Network Radio Saturday at 12:30, and you'll see our own Anthony LaRocco of the fourth period. He'll be talking Islanders hockey, so definitely give him a listen and show some support to him.
Yes, and hopefully Anthony can squeeze out one little blurb about the other place where his podcast is this time around. But 12:30 on Saturday. Sorry, I'm making this graphic for him right now. And to hear our Anthony LaRocco. And a matter of fact, Anthony's working on getting some time out with NHL Network too. He's working on that one as well. So big things happening for some of the boys over here.
I said in our group text the other night, because Stefan Rosner, who is a mutual follow of mine on Twitter and has been for a long time, I like Stefan, but I said that Anthony. The goal is to have Anthony be the one mentioned on MSG Network Islander broadcasts and not Stefan. So sorry, Stefan. I like you. Good guy. But I have to support my buddy Anthony on that.
Yeah, no, we got to get Anthony out there, you know, keep spreading the word about us. By the way, great comments from, I think it was calling Blue Shirts, or we got a comment this week on our YouTube. Thank you for the very professional videos. We try to be as very professional and entertaining as possible. So we love doing that.
Yeah, sorry. I know that someone out there, I'm not going to name any names, had an over and under on how many expletives I was going to use in my tirade regarding the Rangers. Sorry, but I do have to keep a little bit of a professional moniker here.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. We try to do it, and you know what? We try, nothing more professional than layup talk. We always try to keep the professionalism, but we always want to keep entertaining because, you know, I mean, we're showmen. It's what we do. That's what we do with that.
It's not a cookie cutter type thing. We're not TSN. We're not Sportsnet. We're not all that. Yeah, I'm with John on this. Let's get these. Let's get those lace up hoodies, the hockey lace hoodies, for Big Apple Hockey. You could definitely do one kind of like the jersey that you have in the background there. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
So.
And I gotta order some of those as well. Hold on a minute.
Hey, babe.
As my fiance is came
actually asking if you're working tomorrow, he needs to do something to celebrate his birthday.
No, I am actually not only not working tomorrow, I am on the wagon for a week. So it's been not a drop of liquor is anywhere near me. So I'll be doing shots of cranberry juice the next time you come in. So I got oral surgery the other day, so I'm on antibiotics. Got to make sure it takes. So, no, actually, Dave, it's funny because you can curse a little bit. You just can't curse a lot.
Yeah, there's definitely a certain point in which they bang you out for it. They really get on you, and they crack down. I've seen it before. We've gotten hit with some. So one time that we got hit. Mark, you're muted.
Sorry. I think the one you got hit on was for Facebook.
I think so. It was a while back, and it wasn't even that much cursing. It was more yelling than anything.
Look, I still can't get Facebook to tell me why the hell was there a problem. Logan is actually asking right here. Is there still hope for this team? I think he means the Rangers, though, right now.
Yeah, Logan's definitely talking about the Rangers. He's one of he's become a regular here, but he's a big time regular at Ranger Central on Evan, Matt, and Nick and Joe and Nico. So I definitely there's some hope, but it's got to change, and it's got to change now. Like this cannot continue. And it's continued for way too long to begin with. But the fact that this group has let this type of behavior, these types of efforts, these types of trends continue for as long as they have leads me to believe that unless certain things happen, like whether it's a benching or it's a line changeup or something, then it's going to need to come from above, because I think that I think the conditions with Laviolette was that when they hired him, he said that he didn't want somebody breathing over his shoulder. Because this is a guy that's a proven winner. And Chris Drury knows Peter Laviolette. He's played against many Peter Laviolette coach teams many times.
Well, hey, lost the conference finals to him.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he understands and respects Peter Laviolette, and I don't think he wants to step in. And I'll drop that right there. If anybody wants more hockey talk tonight, Rangers Central on YouTube, check out the guys, Matt, Evan, Nick, Joe, Nico, all do a great job over there. Definitely check them out. I've been on with them, as Mark said before, We actually did a little State of the Union the other day, and that was a real interesting one. We kind of vented a bit, got a little too negative, but kind of deserving after that. So
I got to say, I understand he's having a great season. I'm not one that's loving the Frank Vatrano thing. And that the Rangers, I think a couple years ago, they gave up a third round pick for him or a fourth round pick. And then now they're looking at trying to go for a much higher return. You got to remember the player that he was, never mind the player or the player that he is. And it goes with the player that he was. I don't think he's going to be, I just don't look at him in the Rangers and think that's the guy that's going to be the difference maker. I mean, a guy that I would love to see is somebody that could bring some playmaking ability a la Pavel Buchnevich or maybe Matt Zuccarello. I'm just using some examples. I'm not saying that the Rangers weren't wrong to trade them either, by the way. It's just – and I think they're going to have to look at other things like possibly getting rid of Kaapo Kakko.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're getting to a point where I think this organization is kind of losing its faith with Kaapo Kakko. And I get it. I mean, if there's any time to trade him, this would be the time to do it because of the fact that you could probably still have him as some sort of value in a trade. But I think he is what he is. I don't think he's a first-line winger. I don't ever think he's going to be a first-line winger. And I just don't think he has the speed to keep up with the better lines and the better players. He can still be a useful player, but if you can go out and you can get something for him and you can bring in a guy that can really help you over the top, like I would be scared to deal him to Pittsburgh for Gensel just because that could end up biting you in the ass for years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to deal him to a team that has a significant player out west that could come in, that has a little bit of term at least, I would explore that at least if I'm the Rangers. I'm not saying definitely do it and ship him out and send him out and, you know, let the door hit him in the ass on the way out, but I would at least explore it at this point.
All right. I'm going to take the bait on this one, Philk. So the guys were hooking it. They're going, come on, Mark. Have go on. You know you want to say something about
too
this.
Too slow. Too slow. Yeah. You gotta be quicker than that.
Hey, you remember Cam Talbot? Oh my goodness, what a season he was having when he had like a 929 or a 930 save percentage. Hey, Phil, guess what his save percentage is right now? It's 915. And in the month of January, he has an 882 with a 384 save percentage.
Well, another goaltender that has regressed. Hi, Jonathan Quick.
Yeah. Hey, it's almost like goalies that are 36 years old start to act like they're 36 years old at some point. So, yeah, they don't have that. No, J.E., I think the Rangers need more playmakers. I think they need more shooters, too. That's a different story.
I would bring back Matt Zuccarello if they could find a way to do it.
Well, you know what we need to do? What we need to do is take and look, I'm going to let the fan out of me for a second. Here's what we need to do. We need to take the roof off of every single building. So that way Alexei Lafreniere can't look at the roof and the ceiling. Did you see the play that he made, that Trocheck made last night? Third period, game tied at 2, closing minutes or whatever in the third period. I forget when. And he passes it over to Lafreniere. Lafreniere on his forehand, open top shelf, steals it wide.
Yeah.
And he's so busy looking up at the ceiling that it's coming back out of the zone. No, Laf, follow the play, get the puck back. Everybody, and look, I'm guilty of that too. Whenever I played, and I still play, even though I'm like a rotting corpse now. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him, Matt. You got it. And by the way, yes, let me say this too. I am a little bit displeased with the Chris Kreider play. But the thing is, he needs Mika Zibanejad to be playing at his best for Chris Kreider to be at his best. And that's why it goes on Mika
Zibanejad. The problem is not that it's not the production. It's the efforts. His efforts are lazy. They're inconsistent. They're erratic. They're to the point where it's reprehensible. No one should be above reproach on this team. and why Chris Kreider continued to get a free pass despite being somebody who shows up when he feels like it is beyond me. And this fan base defends him to no end.
Yeah.
To no end, despite the fact that he goes invisible for a month, scores two or three goals in like a game or two, and then maybe another two goals after that, like two games later, and then disappears for another month. I've had enough. I really had enough of it. I said that they should have traded him back in 2019. They should have started the rebuild back then. They should have really gotten rid of him at the 2019 draft and traded him to Colorado and or another team, Toronto in 2020, the trade deadline. St. Louis was also interested, and they did not want to move him. And then they were thinking about giving him the captaincy. I'm sorry. The reason why these efforts continue is because the players in the leadership positions continue to go out and nail it in on a night-to-night basis. So it sends the worst possible message to the rest of the lineup. The only guys that aren't mailing it in effort-wise are the guys that really can't give you anything production-wise. Like Goodrow, who is bad because he's just not a good skater and he's completely overpaid, but he tries. Jimmy Vesey tries, but lately he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. And then there's Nick Bonino, who tries, but if he moved any slower, time would be going backwards. Time in a bottle by Jim Croce to figure out what's going on with Nick Bonino and his skating.
Always love hearing a little bit of Jim Croce in there. But if they don't respond, and by the way, even if they do respond and win a Stanley Cup this year, which it's not out of the question, but we're not exactly loving it right now.
Definitely Anthony with that comment there. Barabanov would be a nice little addition, but that would be a depth addition. And yes, I would have no problem adding him to like a third line or something like that. But
and Phil, you got to look at
another addition on top of that.
If not for Jimmy Vesey and Will Cooley, that bottom six would be pretty god
awful. Awful, no depth. And no, but Anthony's right. Barabanov would be a real good addition to that bottom six. You throw him on your third and fourth line. You get one of those slower skaters like Wheeler or Bonino or Goodrow out of the damn lineup. If Pitlick is healthy, he should be playing over Bonino. Bonino should never be in this lineup again. And Blake Wheeler, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yep. I don't know what the attachment is to this guy. He doesn't give you anything defensively. He can't skate. And if he's not on the top line, he doesn't give you points. You know what? Yeah, Anthony was right about Barbashev. That was the guy that they should have gotten. They shouldn't have went after Kane. And you know what? But they weren't going to say no to Kane at the price that they got. Were they going to give up a player, a prospect the caliber of Brendan Hoffman to get Barbashev, which is ultimately what went in the deal for Barbashev last year? So Mikheyev is not going anywhere. Vancouver is not getting rid of Ilya Mikheyev. I hate to tell you this, but Vancouver is not going anywhere. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with.
All right. We're gonna start the music. We'll close it on out. We'll take like one or two more comments. Again, everybody tune in NHL Radio to hear our very own Anthony Rocco on Saturday at 4:30 once again. But Phil, just to finish one more thing on the thoughts we were just having. Blake Wheeler needs to go. Nick Bonino needs to be the 14th forward at best. And because Blake Wheeler, talk about blood for his own. And same thing with Gustafson. They need to go out. They need to get at least one defenseman. I've heard about this guy, Phil. Can you tell me more about him?
Maxim Siplikov, not related to Vladimir Siplikov, who played for the Kings, who, funny enough, his first goal was actually assisted by Wayne Gretzky, who was against the Colorado Avalanche in October.
How about that?
Yeah. But not related to Vladimir Siplikov, who passed away back in 2019. But he's big. He can skate. He has some size, goal-scoring prowess, 29 goals right now, which is third in the KHL. for Spartak Moscow. I wouldn't mind getting him. You take a flyer on an undrafted player like this, you bring him over, you see what he can do. At worst, he becomes a depth piece. Or at the very worst, he ends up not sticking in the NHL, goes down to Hartford, and then wants to go back to Russia in a year. What if you have to lose? Go get him.
Here's my question, though. Because I think the answer for the Islanders is absolutely not. Can the Rangers afford to do a 1994-style trade deadline where you're selling off? They sold off a lot of future on that trade deadline with Marchand and Amonte, who was incredible for the Blackhawks for years after that. Can the Rangers really do that?
My discussion in my own head has been, will the Rangers end up making those types of trades? Because I think that's the only way that they're going to win the cup is if they go and they make those types of trades. And that's why I said a few weeks back that the Rangers could end up making deals that the fan base may not like, kind of like akin to Amonte and Gartner. And I really do think that unless this team continues to spiral out of control, like let's just say they right the ship, I think those are the types of deals that you could end up seeing being made. Because those are the types of deals that'll put you over the top, that'll get you the guys that come in and win those championships. Like Tampa, look at what they did to go get Gaudreau and Coleman. Those were the guys that they needed after that 2019 team was too soft and got their ass kicked by Columbus.
Let me just say this, that Doug Waite was the year before. He was the 93 deadline.
Yeah, he was
got taken in at that time.
Yeah, he was taken in 93.
But I do want to.
He would be Kako, but just not as good, obviously, offensively. He would just be a young player that's been in the league that has some potential to grow.
Yeah, after all, I mean, the Rangers did get Brian Noonan right there. Jack was asking this one. We have to get back to him real quick. Which defenders will Waugh keep? I think he's going to be sticking with everybody, though, right?
I don't think they're moving anybody.
Bortuzzo's injured, Anthony was saying.
Yeah.
Pollock is out right now. I think they got to run with what they got.
I think their trade deadline defensive acquisitions would probably be just the guys coming back from injury. I can't see them going and making a deal for Chychrun.
Or Hanifin?
No. I just don't think they have the assets to... No, I wouldn't go get Batherson and Lafreniere going the other way. No.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I would send Kako to Ottawa for Batherson.
Oh, something tells me Batherson. And by the way, I like Batherson as a player. He's injury prone. Something tells me there might be more news about Batherson coming out soon. So,
Batherson's not really. I don't think he took a leave of absence.
No, he did not.
I don't think he was one of those guys. So.
By the way, dedication is this lovely woman who's trying to stay out of frame right now. So,
yeah. So go get to her and do your thing, man.
Also, hi, everybody, Phil, can you hit yours? I was just saying, make sure you hit the like.
Oh no, I'm looking at something else. I was just looking at Batherson is right wing, and they do need that. Yeah.
Rick is also saying that the Rangers are going to regret not giving Knobloch a chance at head coach like they did like they should have with Sullivan.
Stop.
No, not with this team. You couldn't go to a rookie head coach right away.
No, when we said that.
And let's be honest, that Knobloch is succeeding right now because he's in the right situation, because Edmonton's got two of the best players in the league, which my money, Nate McKinnon is number two now.
This has nothing. The Rangers situation has nothing to do with coaching. It's
right.
All the players. And Evan's right. You could bring in Scotty Bowman. It wouldn't matter. We've said that at this point. Scotty Bowman wouldn't be able to fix what's going on with this team because you have to have it in here. This team doesn't have it in there right now.
Yeah. So, and there's still plenty more to work with. And you still have a well-known head coach who's been around the block, who's been in situations like this. That's why Ranger fans don't freak out too badly. Now you got Patrick Waugh over on the island, who's kind of got some and some gusto, and he's going to be trying to get them fired up to go and get into the playoffs now. So it's going to be an interesting next 5 weeks, especially next week. We're going to do power rankings. We're going to do as much NHL talk as we can. Guys, everybody, thank you very much for joining us today, and we will see you next Wednesday night.